Turn to John chapter 21. There's a text in John chapter 21 that I want to preach on today. It's a much preached on text. And yet I was drawn to this text this week. And I want to just read for context 1 through 17. Or let's go ahead and read 1 through 19. After these things, I'm in chapter 21 of John, verse 1. Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. In other words, he was stripped down for fishing. He wasn't stark naked, but he was stripped down to fishing. He was dressed in a way that he wouldn't have in the general public. And did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This speak he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Now, I believe you have to love this Peter. He's a leader of men. I mean, he's a man's man. He's a man of action. And we see this interaction between Peter and the Lord in 15 through 19. And it has a great significance to us, what's exchanged between the two. We see the Lord Jesus question Peter concerning his love for Jesus. Peter, of course, had denied the Lord three times during that great sifting of all the disciples, a sifting by Satan. And, of course, here the Lord restores him, but with this painful question, Lovest thou me? Now, Peter had denied Christ three times. Now, Jesus reminds Peter three times of the love he seeks and requires from his followers. We are to love Him more than anything or anyone else, including our own lives. We are to love not just with words, but in deeds. See, in an instant there, Peter loved his own life more than he loved the Lord. And it's understandable. But it must have cut Peter to the heart to have Christ Jesus ask him, "Lovest thou me?" I mean, there's no doubt that Peter was filled with love for our Lord. Even when he denied him, it didn't mean he didn't love him. It was his courage that gave way in the hour of trial, and then fear mingled with exhaustion, exacerbated by confusion, overcame love for a time. Now, remember, Peter was ready to fight a multitude for the Lord in the garden. And there, of course, his love and his courage perhaps overcame his piety. And then after the arrest of Jesus, Peter followed him all through the night. You don't think that didn't take love? Keeping a vigil, the scriptures say, even into the palace of the high priest. And of course, Peter would have been present at the crucifixion. At a distance, he would have been there. Now, when Peter sees Jesus, the resurrected Christ, again, his love propels him into the water. He casts himself into the sea. He loves him so much. And he makes his way to the side of the Savior. Then after Jesus breaks the bread with the disciples, they have fellowship and they eat. They've done it so many times in the past. Must have been a wonderful time. Then the Lord asked Peter, "Lovest thou me?" And he asked the questions three times. I say questions because there's some variation. And then twice Peter answers, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And then the third time, Peter states, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Now, Peter is sure of the love he has for the Lord because he dares to say, "Lord, thou knowest all things." I mean, Peter knew the Lord. Peter was no brash false convert that might say something like that and bring condemnation on himself. Peter knew the Lord. He knew the scriptures. He knew Psalm 44:21, "Shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart." And we know that all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And Peter knew that. Peter knew who Jesus was. And yet he says to the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh, very God of very God, the risen Lord, he says, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." In essence, he's saying, "Thou knowest everything about me. Thou knowest every thought before I think it. Thou knowest all the intentions of my heart. Thou knowest that I love thee." Peter is able to stand in the immediate presence of the Lord and say, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Now, in response to Peter's three answers, Christ Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, tells him, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." So you have the same questions with variation the first one. And then you have the same command given three times with some variation. Now Peter, from Pentecost on, is ordained to the office of apostle, preacher, and elder. He's an elder of the church. He says it in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. Peter is an under-shepherd of the Lord's flock. The Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, commands Peter and all pastors and all elders, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." And "feed" here is translated from the same Greek verb in the first and the last instance. It's in a different it's translated from a different Greek word in the middle instance. Now, when he says, "Feed my lambs," that Greek verb means pasture them. It means feed and keep them. And it's the lambs I believe it's the children of the church. Feed them. Pasture them. Keep watch over them. Now, the second time, he says, feed my sheep. It's really the first time because he said, feed my lambs. That means to tend and rule over. So, the first time with the lambs, he says, pasture these little ones. Feed them. Keep watch over them. See, parents should rule over their children. So the pastor has to exercise direct authority very, very seldom with little children. He may have to, but he shouldn't have to very often if the parents do their job. But he is to take pains to see that they're nurtured up in the Word and even educated as they ought to be. Oh, I have heard times in the history of our church that perhaps I'm getting too involved in the life of certain people's children. It's none of my business. It is my business. The Lord made it my business to be concerned for your children, your lambs. Are they being nurtured up in the Word? Are they being nurtured? Are they being educated? Are they being taken care of? It is my business. Feed my lambs. And then Jesus says, feed my sheep. Tend and rule over the church, elders, and certainly pastors, the shepherds. And he said the same thing to Paul, or I should say Paul said the same thing to the Ephesian elders. And then next he says, feed my sheep, back to that other Greek verb. And there it's pasture, feed, and keep them. So, the first primary and overriding responsibility of pastors and elders is to feed the flock, to rule the church, to protect and tend this flock which Christ hath purchased with his own blood. And Christ Jesus thrice commanded Peter, and I believe all pastors and elders, to feed my lambs. Feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Lambs, then sheep, then sheep. I realize it's some variation. But those commands are preceded by this question, lovest thou me? Pastors who love the Lord will feed his flock. They will feed his flock from the Word of God. If the flock looks bored sometimes, they'll still feed the flock. They'll, along with the elders, rule the flock. Without fear of the opinions of men, without the church or within the church. They will protect the Lord's flock from false doctrine, as well as enemies from without and enemies that might creep in and become enemies within. And the pastors and elders will tend the Lord's flock, having a concern for the real needs. I say the real needs. I say the real needs of the people. Now, it was after a meal and fellowship that Jesus began to question Peter. And in the first instance, he said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? More than who? Now, there's a legitimate difference of opinion among Bible expositors. Now, I may be in the minority on this one, but the first opinion is more than his way of life. His fishing boat, the few things he has left. And I think it's obviously something that every Christian has to answer. Lovest thou me more than these? The second position would be that Peter, of course, had said when Jesus told his disciples that every one of you will fall away. You'll all be offended because of me on that night of great testing. And Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Some say what he was saying in essence is, because I love you more than all the rest, I'll never fall away from you. I'll never be offended. I'll never stumble. I'll never fall. I'll be with you to the end. And then some say, of course, then, that what Peter said is, I love you more than all of these people. And so when Jesus says, do you love me more than these? He's saying, do you love me more than these other disciples love me? Now, I don't happen to hold to that position, but I understand it. There's merit in it. And then some, including myself, I say it would be a minority position, I suppose. I don't know, you know, what position would be among modern preachers, but I believe among the old-time preachers it might be a minority position. I don't know. I haven't polled all of them. But some say, along with me, I mean, or me along with them, or this is my position, that Jesus is saying, do you love me more than you love these other disciples? That's what I believe he was saying. Some believe that in asking Peter three times, he was asking all three things. But as I said, when the Lord said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these, I believe the more than these are the disciples right there with the Lord and Peter. I believe this for several reasons, and I'll give them to you. It's all based on the nature of the Lord's questions, the nature of Peter's answers. It's based on context. In the first case, well, I'm just going to go past the first case. When it comes to all these things, I don't think that's a very strong position, you know, the fishing boat and all that. Of course, we're supposed to love the Lord more than our things, but I think it's not a very strong position. The second position, of course, is the one I want to deal with, that the Lord was saying, do you love me more than these other disciples love me? Well, Peter said, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Well, all the other disciples then very quickly said the same thing. They all said the same thing, if you read on. They all said they were ready to die with him. So I think that puts context on this. Peter did love the Lord, though his courage had failed him in a hard trial. And it was rebuke enough that the Lord would even ask him these questions, and it was less enough that he did. And the third reason I believe what I believe, that Jesus is saying, do you love me more than you love these disciples, is this. When Jesus says, lovest thou me more than these, Peter again, as I've said previously, and we read previously, answers the Lord, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. If Jesus asked the question of Peter to show Peter that he really did not love him more than the other disciples, then why would Peter so boldly say, yea, Lord, to that question? If the question from Jesus, in essence, was, okay, you said you love me more than all the other disciples because you would not be offended, and they would be, even if they would be, and yet you fell away. You were offended. Now, do you still say you love me more than these? And Peter just, it borders on the unbelievable, says in the presence of God, God himself, yea, Lord. In essence says, yeah, I do. I love you more than all these do. And so for these reasons, I believe we're talking about the disciples themselves. Lovest thou me more than these? The other disciples who were there, and they had gone a-fishing with Peter. And you have to note that James and John were there. And no doubt one of the other disciples not named was Andrew, Peter's brother and fishing partner. Now, I want you to just think for a moment before I bring this lesson and apply it to us. Just think what these men had been through together. I mean, I want you to think of the significance of this question. Lovest thou me more than these? Do you know what these people had been through together? I mean, without even the relationship some of them had before they became disciples of Jesus. But then afterwards, they had lived together. They had seen the miracles of Jesus together. They had performed miracles themselves by the power of God. They had ministered together. They had stood together. They had faced danger and death together. They had shared hardships and the basic necessities, which is about all they had, with each other. They had feared together. They had mourned together. They had huddled together in hiding after the crucifixion of Jesus. And they had rejoiced together many times, and certainly after they had seen the resurrected Lord. And John and James and Peter were especially close. They were what you might call the inner circle of the Lord. There was that daughter of a ruler of the synagogue that had died, and Jesus went to the house and went in to raise her from the dead. And it says in Luke chapter 8, verse 51, and when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the maiden. That's how close these men were and close to Christ. And he took Peter, James, and John up into the mountain when he was transfigured. And you see that episode where he's sitting on the Mount of Olives and Peter and James and John and Andrew come and question him. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, it says, and he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. So these were very, very beloved brothers. They were very, very close. And really, what did they have left? Except maybe a fishing boat. Now, right in front of this band of brothers, Jesus asked Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Not lovest thou me as much as these? Or lovest thou me as much, or I should say, in the same way that you love these? Or even just in the first case, lovest thou me? But lovest thou me more than these? Once he had asked that question, more than these, then of course, the second two times it was the same sort of love he was talking about. More than these brethren who were near and dear and closest to Peter's heart. This is the love owed to the Savior by his people. This is the love which will in turn strengthen faith, engender courage, and cause Christ's followers to love not their own life even unto death. Now, you notice, the Lord didn't have to ask Peter. You know, you can say what you want about Peter. Oh, he failed. Put yourself in his shoes. See how good you'd do in that situation he was in, pre-Pentecost. Here we have the whole canon of the Scriptures. We have 2,000 years of church history back to Peter, and then before that, the Holy Spirit has worked great things among us from Pentecost on. So don't judge Peter too harshly. And in fact, note that the Lord didn't have to ask Peter, lovest thou me more than thy unbelieving relatives? Lovest thou me more than thy reputation in the world? Lovest thou me more than thy personal safety? Lovest thou me more than thine own comfort? Lovest thou me more than the praises of men? Lovest thou me more than thy possessions? Lovest me more than thine own wife? Now, the Lord didn't ask Peter such things. As they say in court, asked and answered. Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. Now, he didn't leave his wife, but he was willing to leave her by death, if necessary, to follow the Lord. But he left all these other things and followed Christ. And Christ commended him for that at that time when he made that statement. Now, Christ says, lovest thou me more than these brothers of yours. Now, in the future, Peter will be asked to love the Lord more than his mortal life. Verses 18 and 19 speak of his demise for the Lord. Now, Jesus asked Peter, lovest thou me more than these? As if to say, more than this nearest and dearest little band of brothers with whom you've gone through so much. More than this last tiny circle of comfort and fellowship left to you on this earth at this time. And with his Lord about to leave. Besides, lovest thou me more than these? And Peter's able to answer without hesitation, without fear of rebuke. He's able to answer the risen Son of God, the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And in saying so, he's saying more than these. Now, the Lord didn't say to Peter, if you love me, you must not love these. He didn't say you must not love these, your brethren, your fellow disciples. We're commanded to love our brothers. And that's why there's even more power, more weight in what Jesus is teaching here. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, John 13, 34 and 35, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And this very Peter, as the Holy Spirit inspired him, said, "Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." And the love we have for each other is actually a mark of regeneration. 1 John 3:14, "We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." Now, we're not to love the world. We're not to love the things of the world. We're not to love riches. We're not to love the praises of men. There are many things we're not to love. And there are a number of things we are to hate and abhor. But Christians are commanded to love one another as Christ has loved us, which is a love like none other. Like none other. That's how we're to love our brethren. Now, we know that the Lord loves us. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Brother Mike read that this morning. And he also read verse 35 of the same chapter 8 of Romans. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" But yet our Lord says to Peter and to every one of us, he poses a question, "Lovest thou me more than these?" He poses that question to you today. We're to love our brethren fervently. And yet he says, "Lovest thou me more than these?" Now, Peter had grievously failed the Lord three times. There's no doubt about that. But the text we're concerned with today is not Peter's failings, but Peter's love and the love we're to have. And we have this question before us. "Lovest thou me more than these?" If you were to stand in the very immediate presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and were asked that question, could you answer the question with the confidence that Peter did and not be rebuked? He wasn't rebuked. He was instructed, which is a sign that he did love the Lord more than these. He was given great responsibility. Now, how would you answer the God who knows all things? "Thou knowest all things." Would you be able to say that? "Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." See, the question of love, of course, then raises the question of faith. Isn't it enough that we just have faith in the Lord? Isn't it enough, not, I shouldn't say just, but isn't it enough that we have faith in the Lord? Must we be so concerned with love for the Lord? Yes. We must be concerned that we love the Lord with the love due him from his people. Yes, the just shall live by faith. And true faith produces works. And faith without works is shown to be a dead faith. No faith at all. But the faith by which the just have eternal life, by which they live, is, the scriptures tell us in Galatians 5 and 6, a faith that worketh by love. It's by the love of God. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And with this love of God shed abroad in our hearts, that encourages us that our hope is a sure hope, a lively hope, an absolute hope, our hope of eternal life. Then we who live in Christ are to have the love of Christ for Christ and for our brethren. And there is no true faith in a man who does not love the Lord. Paul said, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema," Maranatha. And those who do not love the Lord will not obey the Lord. And those Christians whose love for the Lord is weak will also struggle to obey the Lord. You see the importance of this, faith and love. It's no mere coincidence that the moral law regarding our duty to God is summed up this way: "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." That's the summation of the moral law. Faith, love, obedience, all lean on each other. And so it follows that the stronger the love the Christian has for the Lord, the stronger will be his faith, not to mention his comfort, his peace, and his fellowship with Christ. And a weak love for the Lord will produce a weak faith and a weak courage. Now, what if you stood in the very presence of the Lord? What if I stood in the very presence of the Lord and we were asked? He knows all things. lovest thou me more than these? I mean, with Peter, he went right to the disciples, of course. With us, he might have to start a little bit earlier. You think about these. But he has asked you. He has asked me. Not with words. But he's asked you, lovest thou me more than these? He's asked you many times. Maybe I can encourage you today. Maybe I can convict you today. When you came to Christ, didn't he call you to leave behind the worldly ways and the entertainment that you loved? And didn't he call you then to separate from your worldly friends, no matter how close they were, no matter how much you loved them, separate and join yourself to his church? So wasn't the question, lovest thou me more than these? What did you do? How did you answer? When you were born again, didn't the Spirit of God work such a work in you that your life soon became an offense to those unbelievers in your family? They couldn't understand why you no longer would have just one drink with them at a holiday time, if you were still initially going to holiday times when you're first saved. They couldn't understand why you didn't laugh at their crude jokes. They couldn't understand why you wouldn't attend their apostate church at special times when they thought it was so significant that you be there. They were offended that maybe before the funeral of a loved one, you wouldn't pray with them. They were offended that you wouldn't watch their sports with them. You didn't feel comfortable in their company any longer. Well, the choice was between your family and your Lord, and the question was, lovest thou me more than these? How did you answer? I mean, because today you might say, I don't know if I love the Lord as I ought. I don't know if I've ever really loved the Lord as I ought. Maybe God was working in your life more than you think. Maybe there was more of a work of grace going on than you think. Or maybe there was less. How did you answer? Perhaps when you first saw the Lord in a believing way and you called upon his name. Maybe you were a hard-working man or woman. You worked almost all the time. Maybe you were a dairy farmer, an old-fashioned dairy farmer. But now you're saved. Now you used to cherish if you could grab a few hours of rest or recreation on the Lord's Day. But there was this work of grace and love in your heart. And when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord, you were glad. Isn't that because you love the Lord more than these? Didn't you want to be in a church, a duly constituted church, separated unto the Lord? And what about when you were first confronted with obligations to the Lord, which many Christians neglect or negate because they call for sacrifice, so-called? Obligations to such things as tithing, to honoring the Lord's Day, truly honoring it and sanctifying it, to schooling your children in a proper way. It might have sounded so, especially in the early days, strange to take your children out of the government schools. How can we do that? Never heard of that before, years ago. How can we do that? And tithing, 10% of my income? And the Lord's Day, honoring the Lord's Day in such a way as to sanctify it and set it apart. Now, conviction called you to trust the Lord with your finances, with your time, and with your reputation, because you were looked upon as an extremist. You were called a legalist, perhaps even by some Christians in your own family. But the real issue was this: lovest thou me more than these? And what did you do? And what of that Bible you hold in your hand? Some of you used to read a modern translation. It was easier to read. You had memorized all these verses out of it. Your children had been taught out of it. It wasn't an easy thing, once you saw the truth about the Bible, for you to change your whole family over to the King James Bible. But you had a decision to make. And in the end, wasn't the question at the heart of that decision a question posed by the incarnate Word of God? Lovest thou me more than these? Faith results in obedience. But love for Christ is the lifeblood of a faith which consistently produces obedience. I'm not trying today to puff you up. Those people haven't done the things I've said with a right heart if they did do them. And some of them aren't doing all of them anyway. And there's other issues we could talk about. I'm not trying to puff you up. I'm trying to encourage some people that ought to be encouraged. Some who hear this sermon have been faced with rebellious children who, once grown, have turned completely away from the word of the Lord, mocked their own parents that way, and are living openly as enemies of Christ. And now it's common nowadays for Christian parents to just tread very, very lightly in such a situation, to be more concerned about their child's relationship with them than to be concerned with the glory of God and the welfare of His church. It's common nowadays for them to tread lightly and speak much of unconditional love and acceptance so as not to lose the fellowship of their own child. Yet it is the Christian's obligation to confront such a young person with the Word of God and place certain sanctions on them for the sake of Christ and for His church. And if they be offended, they're offended. And if they go away and want to eat with the hogs, they go away and they eat with the hogs. And if you worry about them, and you worry about their life, their very life, you still are called to do what the Word of God tells us to do. But what of you, if you've had that in your life? What of you, when you've looked at that rebellious child whom you love more than your own life? You maybe don't realize it, but you realize it now. You heard your Lord say, "Lovest thou me more than these?" And your actions answered, "Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And in this time of great declension, in the midst of this great spiritual downgrade, many are falling into error. Many are cleaving to false doctrine and ungodly associations. They don't love the Lord more than these. They may truly be Christians, but they don't love the Lord more than these. And then other Christians are faced with the prospect of parting ways with co-laborers with whom they once had close fellowship and with whom they once stood shoulder to shoulder facing the enemy. But if that old friend is not honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, if he's robbing the Lord of His glory, if he's acting against the doctrines of the faith of Jesus, if he's walking disorderly, then the Lord asked you and asks you, "Lovest thou me more than these?" And what did you do? Perhaps some who hear this message have been called upon to give up position, comfort, even fame for the Lord. Many of the Lord's people have done that in the past. In answer to the question, "Lovest thou me more than these?" Read about them. Read about Borden of Yale and the privileged life he gave up because he said, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." Now, with these questions, I hope I've encouraged some of you. I hope I've strengthened you. I'm not trying to puff you up. And if you're one who stood, you won't be puffed up. You'll know it was by the grace of God. But you might look back and you might say, "Lord, I do love thee. I do love thee more than I even knew." None of us love the Lord as we ought. There's times when we might even ask ourselves, "How can our love be so weak for the love, compared to the love we should have? How can our love be so weak, this love for the one who's purchased us with His own blood? I mean, while we were yet enemies, He died for us. How can we have such a weak love for Him?" And this is not after all, a matter of human feelings or emotions because they can't be trusted. But looking back and considering the things just mentioned, I want some of you to be encouraged. You do love the Lord, don't you? You do love Him. And when Christ asked, "Lovest thou me more than these?" you said, "Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." You said it with your actions. By the grace and mercy of God, you said it with your actions without even realizing, without even knowing it. You said, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." But you and I have need to love Christ more. Love and faith must nourish each other. We must have more love for Christ. Our faith, of course, if we have more love, will then be stronger. If our faith is stronger, we'll have more love for Christ. Now, others who consider these questions, the ones I've just asked, the ones I've just examined, perhaps should be embarrassed to even consider saying, "Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." Now, some will hear the sermon, won't be embarrassed. Because they can't be embarrassed. Because their life is a sham. Because they live a fantasy. Because they're an actor in a lousy play. And they'll give any answer that makes them look better. And they haven't really been tested. And so, they wouldn't be so comfortable, maybe, though, standing in the presence of the Lord when He said, "Lovest thou me more than these?" They wouldn't be so comfortable saying, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Some who fancy they love the Lord have confused lust with love. Do you know that? They think they love the Lord, but it's lust. It's not love. You know, a man can counterfeit love to a woman in order to take advantage of her and satisfy his lust for her. That man who is to be despised may be for a time gentle, attentive, thoughtful, kind. He might even give the woman he's seducing all sorts of gifts. He might serve her, so to speak. But such a man sooner or later shows his true nature and he shows his real intent, especially once he's satiated his lust. Now just so, a man or a woman who doesn't really love the Lord may obey at least some of the commands of Christ for a time in hopes of getting what he wants for the Lord. That's lust. That's not love. He won't continue on in obedience. Time will try the metal. The day will show if it's love or lust. Such a man will sooner or later show his true nature and his real intent, just as he will show he doesn't love the Lord. But certainly doesn't love him more than these. He'll do it as he reaches those crossroads in life that I've talked about. He'll do it with his actions, what he does or doesn't do. "Lovest thou me more than these?" True faith in Christ and true love for Christ intersect in obedience to Christ. Those who have love in their heart for the Savior will manifest that love in their life by obedience. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Jesus said, "If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Our Lord Jesus showed his love for us. If you haven't seen it, you need to go and look at the cross again. You need to go back to Calvary and look at him on the cross. Now he calls us to show our love for him both in word and deed. "My little children," John says, 1 John 3:18, "let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Now it's no small thing. Maybe this will sound like I'm digressing. But before I close, I want to digress. But I'm still in the text. It's no small thing that Christ Jesus, after Peter attested his love, told Peter, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." Christ Jesus loves and suffered and died to redeem each and every one of his people from their sins. But his people make up his body, the church. And there is a great error afoot today where people say, "Well, the church is just me over here, you over there, you over there. We don't need a church government. We don't need all these offices. We don't need all of this. We are the church." So you are the assembly, huh? Ecclesia. His people make up his body, the church. He loves each and every one. He died for each and every one. But the church is the virgin bride of Christ. Christ loves his church. He's jealous for his church. Christ loves the offices he's ordained in the church. He loves the ordinances he's given to his church. He loves the church's prayers. He loves the church's praise. He loves the church's preaching. He loves the church where the people strive together for the faith of the gospel and love one another and serve together for his glory and for the salvation of souls. Our Lord asked Peter, "Lovest thou me more than these?" And then he tells Peter to show that love by feeding his lambs and feeding his sheep, by teaching and preaching and ruling over and tending to the flock which he hath purchased with his own blood. You know, today the bride of Christ is misused and abused, neglected and corrupted, commercialized and politicized, and even abandoned by the so-called home churchers. But those who can say to the Lord with an honest heart, "Thou knowest that I love thee, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee," can also say with an honest heart, "Thou knowest I love thy church." Lovest thou me more than these? We have to answer that question now. But I want you to know that question is going to be asked of us many times in the future. It'll be asked of us every day of our life. The truth of our answer will be revealed for many of us in the last days of our life. Do you understand that? How many of our brethren have, by their suffering, their sacrifice, and death, answered that question? Lovest thou me more than these? How many have answered, by their suffering, their sacrifice, and their death, that they loved the Lord more than their mortal life, more than their closest brethren, more than their own families? It's not that they didn't love their life, their brethren, and their families, but they loved the Lord more than these. As they pass through the gates into prison, as they lay in their own blood after being tortured, as they stood on the scaffold, as they were tied to the stake, as they laid their head down on the block, they said before the whole world, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." The Lord asks you, and he asks me today, "Lovest thou me more than these?" What a pity there's so little faith and so little love in such easy times as these. May the Lord encourage those of you who, in looking back, have come to see. Maybe you get discouraged with yourself, but you have faith and you have love. You know you have faith, but maybe you didn't realize that you had love as well. And you look back and you realize by God's grace, you can say, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." But we need to remember, in future days, we will be asked the question again and again. God help us to be able to say with a right heart and with rejoicing, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee."